Thank you, Jeannie. Okay. Great to see you guys here today. You guys think the same about me? Great to see you, Pastor Kurt. Okay. Yeah. Somebody is. Today we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. This won't be preaching, it'll be more teaching. So there are going to be a lot of notes. There's going to be a lot of slides. So if you want to actually see it, you might want to move closer. We'll try to put the slides on the internet so you can grab a hold of them and stuff. And as I always start, start with some dad jokes, and then we'll get into the teaching. So, I think I'm into my dad jokes where I'm starting to recycle them. So we'll just, maybe you haven't heard it, but you guys like Switzerland? Yeah, I don't know if I like Switzerland or not, but the flag is a big plus, right? Hey. Okay, if you know flags, then you know what we're talking about. It has a big, red cross there. It's a big plus. Do you know what you do when you see a spaceman? You park your car, man. Okay, that's enough. No more pain. Share those with your children. At AMI, our larger group, we talk about a thing called the radical middle. It's us who we believe in biblical, theological, scriptural truths. And then on the other side, we believe in the Spirit, the movement of the Spirit moving in our lives and taking control and leading us and directing us to minister and bringing them two together, we call the radical middle. So today I'd like to speak on spiritual gifts, and that's where we'll go. Before we start, I'd just like to tell you my own journey with the Spirit. The church that I grew up in, we barely ever mentioned the Spirit. I think we mentioned it when it came to the Great Commission. I go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Like, oh, okay, there it was. Or somebody gets baptized, usually it was an infant, and we bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those are the times that we would hear it. Or maybe the doxology, praise God from whom all blessed. Okay, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'm like, ghost, whoa. What is that? I'm a little kid in the church and like ghost. And that's supposed to mean the Spirit. So, the Lord called me to be a pastor. So I said, what do I do? And I went to seminary and I'm in seminary. And the seminary, we were studying the Bible. At least I studied the Bible. Praise God. Right? Right? Not all seminaries study the Bible. This is true. And studying the Bible, I'm going through the Bible and I see the word Spirit, and I read in Spirit and I'm reading through the Bible more in Spirit. And I see this. I'm like, whoa, you know what? This Holy Spirit guy, he seems to be pretty important. He ended up showing up a lot in here. So what do? I go to the very back of my Bible. In the back of my Bible, I don't know if in the back of your phone, like if you flip it over, but it was a concordance. In the concordance, I went to the word Spirit. And so I began to study every word I found in this big concordance from the Old Testament all the way through about the Holy Spirit. And I came to the New Testament, and now there's verses like this. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within, and by this he meant the Spirit. And so I'm like, oh, we need living waters to flow from us. Knock, seek, and ask, and the Father who gives good gifts will give you the Holy Spirit. So I need the Spirit. And I'm reading through more scripture. It says, don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm like, whoa, that's different. And so now I begin to knock and seek and ask, God, would you teach me, would you show me, would you fill me with this Holy Spirit? And I'm going through, I get to Romans, 1 Corinthians, and it talks about gifts of the Spirit. And I'm reading through these gifts, and it says things like miracles, healing, and other gifts. And I'm like, whoa, I'm going to pray for these gifts because I'm imagining, I don't know why this is what I imagine, but I imagine going to a party and some kid falls in a pool and like drowns and they pull him out. And I come upon the dude and I say, in the name of Jesus, rise or be healed. And they're like, and everybody's like, yeah, Kurt, you are awesome. I'm like, yeah, I am. And so as I'm praying for this Holy Spirit and the filling of gifts, and God is, as we're talking one day, he says, Kurt, why do you want spiritual gifts? I was like, you got me. I want to raise the kid. And then, Kirk, Kirk, Kirk. And the next word that came to me is repent. And in shame, I was on my knees repenting. And at the end of it, the Lord says, but I still want you to seek. I want you to knock. I want you to ask. To be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the gifts of the Spirit. So today we're going to talk about being filled with the Spirit, these living waters. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. Nobody wants to join me? I got a river of life flowing out of me. Lord, fill them more with your Spirit so at least they can sing that song. Spring up, oh well. Okay, you know, splish splash, it's awesome. And if you sing that song, you know what it's about. Because this whole thing about being filled with the Spirit is about, wow, I look cool. It's for me. It's about healing. It's about saving. It's about giving life. It's about bringing people out of darkness. And that's what God wants to do. And that's why He wants to fill you with the Spirit. That's why He wants to give you these gifts of the Spirit. So today we have a lot, basically I'm just saying right now as a disclaimer, we may just come to a slide and I may have to just end and leave, okay? I really apologize for that. You can ask to have me back, okay? I'm in the area. Okay, there's just a lot here today. 1 Corinthians 12. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now to each one of you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, another gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another miraculous powers, another prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit as He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as the body through one has many parts, but all of it, many parts, form one body. So it is with Christ. I'm going to skip down here. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not want to belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? The whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Moving down. 29. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. So that's from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to answer some questions here. What are spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts come from the word charismata. Or charisma. And that's where you get a person or a group of people who move in the Spirit are called charismatics. It's just that. That's what it's connected to. The base word of charismata, and some of your kids are probably named charis, which is grace. Grace then is it something that is not earned, it's not achieved, it's a gift. And so that's the connection we get, is a grace is a gift that is freely given. And that's how we get this term, spiritual gifts. Now, why do we study the spiritual gifts? Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, 1, now about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. So we need to give some information about the spiritual gifts. On we go. Where in the Bible do we find spiritual gifts? I go with, I'm a numbers guy, I go by multiples of four. Okay, so you can always remember this, 1 Peter 4, Ephesians 4 times 3, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12. Okay, and we have to add to there, 1 Corinthians actually goes 12, 13, and 14. And that's where we get most of our New Testament teaching on spiritual gifts. Who gives spiritual gifts? Where do you get them from? Do you go to Target? Do you go to Walmart? How do you get them? You get them from, praise God, God the Father. And there's a scripture for you. It's Jesus. Christ Himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers as He determined. A Holy Spirit. Now about the gifts, OK, Okay, that's where we get that charisma, that grace of, and it's connected to pneuma in Greek, the Spirit. That's why we get spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:7, now to each one the manifest of the Spirit is given through the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, and on we go. So this is where you get them from. That's who you ask. That's who you tap into to have these spiritual gifts. Now, it's a very important question to ask, who is the gift for? Now, if I was to come and give you a gift, you would say, that is my gift. That gift is for me. If someone comes and gives me a gift, you would always say, that is my gift. But really, the purpose of these gifts is not just for you. It's just not your gift. And that's why these spiritual gifts, they're different. Okay? Surprise. It's not just for you. Your spiritual gift is for us. It's for us. It's our gift. And so you can't claim it as your own. Okay? If someone gives you the new car of spiritual gifts, you say, hey, this is our car. Here's the keys. Okay? You can join me in it. And what happens is everyone is blessed. Now, very, very important question is, why does God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit give us spiritual gifts? Okay? Why do we need them? Why does he think it's important? And we can read some of these. 1 Peter 4:10-11. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Going down, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, and him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Why do we receive spiritual gifts? Again, it's just not for you. It is to minister, to serve, to love others. And that's why God will give you a spiritual gift, and that's why you need to seek God for spiritual gifts. Not only is it to minister, but it's to magnify. When you have a spiritual gift and you use it for him, he is blessed. He is magnified. He is glorified. 1 Peter 4 says that. 1 Corinthians 12 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And we think, oh, these spiritual gifts are good, and they are. But really this word common good is the Greek word symphero. And symphero is a combination of two words, with and bear. So if I was to take this bag, what it says is that, you know, the church, the ministry of the church, loving the church can actually be a little weighty sometimes. There are a lot of hurting people. I was a hurting person. I was a lost person. And not one person could really help me and take care of me. So what it is if Chad takes this other side, now we bear it together. We're carrying it together. This is the common good. And so he gives us spiritual gifts to bear this with one another. Thank you, Chad, for bearing with me. So sharing in the ministry is spiritual gifts. On we go. That's 1 Peter and then 1 Corinthians 12. Ephesians 4 has a lot of stuff. So Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip the people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attain the whole measure of Christ. There's a lot of stuff here. Why did God think spiritual gifts were important? Why does he want us to seek them and have them? Number one, to equip the people for God's work of service, to supply. Okay? I'm going to go out and I really want to love people. But then that guy, when I'm trying to love him, man, is he a... So I'm going to need something more than myself to love him, to serve him, to care for him. I need some supply. I need that living water. I need that living water because I'm getting dry, loving, bearing all of this ministry, this love that needs to be flowing out. Not only that, but it talks about so the body of Christ may be built up. That I want to build you up, that I want to encourage you, that I want to motivate you, that I want to say, press on, Peter. Keep going, Steve.
That I want you to be edified and grow. And so this is what spiritual gifts do. Not only that, but I want us to be unified. One of the best ways to be unified is that I need you, you need me. We're climbing a mountain together. You got the water, you got the food, but I got the map. Okay, if I leave you, you're lost. But if you leave me, I don't have any food. We do it together. We unify it together. I need some prophecy. I need some leadership. I need some administration. We're interdependent. And next, becoming more like Christ to sanctify. He says, you know what? Actually, spiritual gifts, when we use them, when we're interdependent, it will come and sanctify us. It will make us more holy as God is holy, to become more like Christ. So we go on to the next question. What happens when I don't seek spiritual gifts? What happens when I choose not to use my gift? Not good. When each person uses their gift, then we all benefit. We are all blessed. We're growing together, just like climbing the mountain. You got the food. You got the water. I got the map. We're joining together. We're benefiting. We're moving forward. But when we don't move forward together, if others don't use your gift, let's say I need some help, and you're not using your gift of leadership or administration or service or hospitality, you know what? Then I get cheated. I'm not fully loved. But you know what? If I don't use my gift, then you're cheated. If maybe, I'm not saying I have the gift of teaching, but if I don't come and teach, and I did have the gift of teaching, then you don't get the teaching. So we all need to work together. At home, I just got a package from Amazon. I'll say a gift from myself, okay? I know some of you are like, yeah, I do that too. Okay. But this was because my upstairs bathroom, some reason we have not taken a shower in there for 2 or 3 months, because when we take a shower in there, all of a sudden we go down to the kitchen and you can get a cup of water and get some water because it's leaking through the ceiling. So we don't use the bathroom because it's leaking. So I got an endoscope so I can get in behind the walls, because I've tried everything else, and find out where is the leak. But you know what? The endoscope came like a month ago. I haven't opened the endoscope. So if I receive that gift and it's sitting on my counter, that gift is useless. It's wasted. It's not doing anything. And you know what? When God gives you a gift to like speak in tongues over people, or prophesy, or serve, or give, and that's what God said. Now all of a sudden it's just kind of there. It's wasted. It's not fully used. And God doesn't want you to waste. Where did I put my stuff here? Okay. He doesn't want you to waste the gift. An unopened gift is wasted. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, do not neglect your gift. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame. Some of you need to get some fire under you. Some more Holy Spirit moving. To pray, to seek, to ask. So you can begin to magnify his name, edify the group, unify, minister to others. This is what God is asking us to do. I do a lot of counseling with different people, and I was counseling one lady, and she started talking to me, and I found out, ended up, that her grandfather had abused her for many years. I feel like I'm a tough guy, but somehow I have a really soft heart. And I wish it wasn't like that sometimes. And that story, and along with all the other stories, just kind of crushed my heart. And I basically went home and said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And I kind of stuck. I'm not saying this is a spiritual gift, but it'll just say a gift somehow. Things happening in counseling when I do it, and I'm just amazed, always like, wow, thank you, Lord. And I just kind of took that, put it on the shelf, said, Lord, I'm going to put it on the shelf. I'm going to leave it there. I don't want that gift. And the Lord, basically, over time, as I just left it there and people were coming for counseling, he kind of said, Kurt, you know, people need this gift. And you know what, Kurt, the problem is if you're not going to use the gift, then you're wasting the gift. And the gift is kind of going to disappear. And so I got back into the action and said, "Yes, Lord, I will obey. I will take my gift. I will open it. I will use it." The Lord's asking you to discover the Spirit, discover His spiritual gifts. And then take it, open that package. Don't leave the endoscope in the package and begin to use it. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received. I know that's small. 1 Peter 4:10. It looks like it's in 8 font, right? But really, that's like, I think like almost 30. Okay. On the PowerPoint, just to let you know. Okay. I just want to say this. I think it's appropriate. I don't know. How many of you grew up Christian? How many of you grew up in a church that moved in the Spirit other than this one? Okay, some of you. And then, I'm not going to ask this question for raise of hands, but how many of you were hurt in church or by the movement of those who moved in the Spirit? And, you know, a lot of times what this does is it causes us to shelf it. Shelf our life, shelf Jesus. Shelf the Spirit, just kind of sit back, kind of get in the little, I don't know, floaty, and just float, okay? Feels good. Don't have to do anything. I'd like to apologize if that's happened to you. As a pastor, to say sorry. I've screwed things up. I'm sure they've screwed things up. That doesn't excuse it. But to say, you know, as a pastor, I'd like to welcome you back to Jesus, to welcome you back to the church, welcome you back to the Holy Spirit. God loves you. We don't always get it right, but we love you. You know, you can kind of float a little bit more, but begin to discover, open, and begin to use what God gives you. What are the spiritual gifts listed? You know, you're talking about these spiritual gifts, Pastor Kurt. What are they? Well, we could read through all of this, but I'm just going to give you the chart, okay? So the chart will be here. We're just going to read those: prophecy, and you can kind of see how I've lined it up side by side. Prophecy, teaching, serving, exhortation, giving, leadership, compassion or mercy. Moves down to healing, working miracles. Yeah, bam, kid rose. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, discernment, apostleship, helps, administration, evangelism, and shepherding. Now, I wish I really had time to kind of go through and talk a little bit on each of these, because you're probably looking at some and like, what is that? Okay? But I don't have time, so again, I'm in the area. Other possible spiritual gifts. We get these from different scriptures, some of the Old Testament, New: hospitality, craftsmanship, intercession, worship, creative communication, casting out evil spirits, aka deliverance. So those are the list of the spiritual gifts, but today the teaching is more on the general aspects rather than the specifics. So you may be asking, Pastor Kurt, what spiritual gifts do you have? And I would say, as I've discovered, and hopefully we'll get to the last part where it talks about how do you discover, how do you understand what spiritual gifts you have. I would say I have a gift of shepherding. If we go back up. The very last one. I got the last one. Got in there. It's just, you know, I was going to end evangelism, but then God knew I was coming along. Oh, I had shepherding. No, he didn't do it like that. Pastoring. Somehow, I'm not an apostle. I'm not one like, let's drive the force and conquer the world. I'm more like, let's just love the people, okay? Let's just nurture the people. That's me. I wish I was like, let's conquer the world. I'm not. We'll talk about that later, okay? I have the gift of tongues, speaking in tongues, interpretation tongues, I don't know. Prophecy, I have the gift of prophecy. I have a gift of encouragement. And of all the ones that I love the most, this is probably the one that's my favorite. Prophecy is really cool. I'm always like, wow. Tongues is interesting and really edifies me. I'm blessed, builds my faith. Shepherding I love, but I need a lot of people to carry the bag. But encouragement, I don't know. I just, you know, send text. Hey, press on for the Lord. And, you know, the guy always writes back, did I do something wrong? No, no, you didn't do it. I just have this gift and I have to use it. So, you know, sorry if you feel convicted about something. Good. No, repent. No. And I would say maybe I have hospitality. People a lot of times will tell me, I make them feel welcomed, invited. My wife, she maybe has partial hospitality, so not so many people can come over. Okay? Like you can keep 1 foot outside the door, 1 foot in. Pastor Kurt, like, hey, what's up? joking. You can come over. We will give you food. Maybe teaching. But I just feel like, personally, I just do good prep and a lot of human effort. So that's how I feel that one works. What are some scriptural facts about spiritual gifts? Well, you know, again, this teaching, this looking through scriptures, I believe we should answer some of these. And these come from Rick Warren's teaching. 1 Corinthians 12:7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Okay? So this is Mr. Potato Head, and you can see a lot of his spiritual gifts, or eyes, or ears, or nose, things like that, are on the ground, and they're on display. And the only Christians have spiritual gifts. Okay? You need to believe in the Lord and be filled with the Spirit. Okay? He needs to be Lord of your life. Okay? He needs to save you. He's your Savior, and then you need to obey Him. He needs to be Lord of your life. And there's a filling of the Spirit. The other one is every Christian has at least one gift. It says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given. So there's something out there for you that will edify and bless the church. And you discover it, okay, open it, and begin to use it. But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, each one of them, just as He wanted them to be. Okay? He knows what He's doing. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. No one receives all the gifts. Okay? We're working together. So this guy, he didn't receive the eyes. Maybe he didn't receive, okay, the gift of leadership. And he's like, I cannot lead them. What is wrong with me? I have a major problem. No, God's like, that's the way I arranged it. I gave you the feet, okay? So you're going to serve and carry people as someone else leads. 1 Corinthians 12:29-30 are all apostles, all prophets, teachers, miracles. Do all have the gifts of healing, speaking in tongues, do all interpret. One single gift is, or no single gift is given to everyone. So just seeing here that, you know, do all speak in tongues? Some people, they believe, every believer is speaking in tongues. Yeah, I don't know. Seeing scripture, I don't know if that can be fully true. Everyone has the gift of service. Well, maybe they should serve, but I don't know if they have the gift of service. Okay. 1 Corinthians 12:11, all these are the works of one same Spirit as He distributes. Christ apportioned it. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit decides what gift we get. Okay, you don't get to decide. Oh, well, I don't want it if I don't get to decide. Well, if it was all about you, then we wouldn't need Jesus. Okay, when we need Jesus, and He's the one that's going to decide. We cannot earn or work for our spiritual gift. Okay, we see this also in Acts 8:18 with Simon the sorcerer. He came, he became a believer. He was transformed. He was changed. And then he saw, I think it was Peter, doing these awesome things. And he said, give me this ability, verse 19, so that everyone who I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter answered, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Ouch. What's your motivation? Why do you want this? Oh, kid, yeah, bam, I'm so glad you fell in the pool and passed, or, you know, died or whatever. And then I can raise you and everybody can see me. So I am awesome. No, this is about God. This is about edifying the church. This is about bringing the supply of water that we need. This is about unifying. This is about ministering and magnifying the Lord. Let me check the time here. Okay, doing a little bit okay. Five important cautions about spiritual gifts. Number one, gift envy. Okay? There's Mr. Potato Head. He's looking down. Oh, man. I don't have the lips. I don't have the, you know, all the, you know, there's so many. If you look at the spiritual gifts, the word gifts, words of, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, speaking in tongues, those who are teachers, those who are prophets. There's so many word gifts. And so many of us, we get this gift envy. I want to be like them. Miracles, healing, prophecy. And I have administration, Lord. Come on. Excel sheets. Was was doing counseling, just for an example for this. I was speaking to one young lady, and I said to her, God loves how he created you. Do you love how he created you? Do you love how he created you? And she's like, no. And going on to say to her, if you don't love how God created you, then you can't bless people the way only you can bless them. I can't do the things you can do. You can't do the things I do. At least all of them. There's a mixture. And if you're not doing what you need to be doing, I'm not going to be blessed. I'm getting cheated. And if I'm not doing what I need to be doing, then you're getting cheated. Like, whoa. It's hard though, you know. Sometimes it's just hard. You know, sometimes actually how God created it, I don't know why, sometimes I actually feel shame about it. Because I think this comparing gets in and like, oh, I should be like that. Because I'm not like that, I feel this bit of shame. It's weird how that works. Don't get into gift envy. Don't get into gift projection, okay? I've run into people like this, okay? Everyone. I speak in tongues. Everyone should speak. I prophesy. Everyone should prophesy. Why don't you prophesy? What's wrong with you? There's a projection that everybody somehow should do the same thing. And I've been there. I'm like, come on. Why don't you do this? But we got to use patience. Okay? I mean, I can't project. Everybody needs to be a nose. I love noses. Okay? You should have a nose on everybody. This shouldn't be an elbow. It should be a nose so that, you know, when you're eating, you can just go, oh, that smells good. Or on your feet, you know, that doesn't smell good. No, we have to have different parts, okay? So we just can't all project on the same thing. Superior versus inferior. You have to be cautious with this one. Oh, I feel inferior because I don't have that. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. But God has put the body together, giving great honor to the parts that lacked it. You know, there's people that stand up front. Thank you for the people who stand up front. They may not even want to stand up front, but a lot of times we look at them up front and we're like, oh, I wish I could be like that. But just as important are the people in the back, welcoming team, hospitality team, those kids, who's taking care of them? What are they doing right now? We don't know. But we know they're in good care because they come back every week, right? So far, everybody's kids come back? Okay. Yeah, batting 100%. Praise God. Too much in the world, I'm just going to put out here this flaw in us, in our world today. Too many of us are loving the upfront talking head. I'm a talking head. And it happens to be up front. And you get different people up front talking, and then the people out there are like, oh, I wish I could be like them. I wish I could do that. Oh, aren't they dreamy? Not me, because I'm old and have gray hair and stuff, but you know, like other people, and it's all over, and we go on the YouTube, oh, there they are, and listen to them speak. Oh. The only thing is, you don't know about my deeper life, and you don't know about their deeper life. God will always take character above the spiritual gift. He wants the heart to be one with him. And so however you're viewing things, don't think because you're a welcomer or you do hospitality, you do service, you do administration, that somehow you're less. You're not. We need everyone. Be humble. Another caution, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 is sandwiched between chapter 12 and 14. Why? Why do we even have chapter 12, 13, and 14? Anybody know why? Because there's a problem. Problem in the church. That's the only reason we have this. There were problems, so he had to give instructions on how they were going about it. And that's why you always have, there's just not one. There's the whole body, and the whole body is made up of many parts. In Romans, it talks about different things like you think yourself more highly than ought to than others. You should think of yourself more sober. Good. And then 1 Corinthians 13 was put in there just for your wedding. No, it was put in there because things had gone a little wrong. Man, I speak in tongues. You don't. You want to listen to me all night? That's not loving. Okay, so what you get is you have to caution if you're lacking love. You know, sometimes I've done this and I feel very, you know, buhayisid about it. Shameful. Where'd my love go? What you get here, right? If you read this, if you speak in tongues of men and angels, but you have love, I'm a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal, clang, clang, clang. Yeah, that guy prophesizes a lot, but clang, he's got no love. If I have a gift of prophecy and it fathom all the mysteries of knowledge, I have faith, move mountains, I have not love, nothing. Nothing. Last of all, I gain nothing, verse 3. Even in these amazing things of sacrifice, we need love. Last caution is your primary and secondary ministry. This is interesting, but it's a bit true, mostly true. You're going to have a primary ministry, meaning God's going to gift you in a certain way. He's going to gift you in a certain way, and let's just say that's apostleship, and that's someone who sort of leads and guides and visions and directs. I think Pastor Young sort of has that gift. And so, if all of a sudden he decides, oh, I'm going to go and clean up leaves at the ministry center, or I'm just going to change kids' diapers that come to the church, all of a sudden he's not using his apostleship like he needs to be. But at the same time, there's a secondary ministry, and that's wherever I'm needed. So you may come to church, right? And you're like, I'm a prophet. Hey, Pastor Kurt, can you help me welcome people today? No, I'm a prophet. I do not welcome people. You know, so you got to balance that. You got to balance that out, right? And you got to figure that out. How's it working? I remember, like, there's different things like Passion Conference. They needed people to do the Sunday school upstairs, which is basically babysitting. And I'm like, hey, I'm in. I like kids. I'll do it. Ministry Center. There's like different things that have to be done. I'll do it. But I have to be careful because I like some of those things more than I like some other of my spiritual gifts that God's given me. So I have to be careful, and I have to balance that. Okay, I have to reassess this. Oh, Isaiah 6:8, do we have that? Yeah, I heard the voice of the Lord, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, Lord, send me. Matthew 20:28, Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life for many. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to skip through some slides here. You can just look at those. What are some spiritual gifts? Why do we keep in the closet? Tradition, misunderstood, subjectivism, misuse, fear. What are the benefits of knowing my spiritual gifts? Okay. We need to know the benefits. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. He's calling us again to seek, knock, and ask. Ask for the Father to give us that great gift, the Holy Spirit. And in this Holy Spirit, one aspect, just one aspect. And again, I know we're talking about spiritual gifts today. Don't think it's everything. It is by no means everything. Read your Bible, please. Pray. Come to church, please. Love people. The spiritual gifts. Okay. Desire, though, spiritual gifts, as Paul says. How does it benefit us? Did I click too many? Nope. I guess I didn't do that. Verifies your vocation, service, and ministry. You know, this is actually something you should ask yourself. I know some of you like, yeah, my mom and dad said study business, so I went into business, and now I have a business job. But maybe also God has gifted you in different ways. And he wants you to be using that gift, and that could help you discover more at your current vocation. Like, God's given me the gift of encouragement. Why don't I encourage people at work? God's given me the gift of service. Why don't I serve a little bit more at work? Okay? God's given me the gift of leadership, but I always hide in the background. Okay? So he's going to help you here, church, ministry, service, vocation. Mobilizes you and your church for missions and ministry. All of a sudden, now you're beginning to move. You're beginning to do it. And you know what I would say? I forgot to put this up here, but you know, part of it is like coming under authority, under leadership. Hey, Pastor Young, I feel like the Lord has gifted me in the area of prophecy. During retreats, could I have, you know, like an area maybe with you or someone else where people could come and I could share with them what I believe I've prayed for and then the Lord has showed me? And then you can talk with him. You can talk with your leaders and find out, is there a space, an area where you could do that? It edifies you in the church. It's awesome when people are all using their gifts in different ways. It begins to build up the church. And then, as we studied, it magnifies God. How do I discover my spiritual gifts? First of all, general, is seek it. Be open to receiving from God is the first part. Are you open? Did you grow up in a church like mine where we never mentioned the Spirit? And then people mentioned some things like, hey, spiritual gifts have ceased. Hey, man, I've been to charismatic stuff. They are crazy. Do not go into the Spirit. Or are you more open? Like, God, you're my Savior and my Lord. Now I want to sit before you and seek. What do you have for me? Humbly ask and seek. Luke 11:9 says, I've said this a lot, ask, knock, seek. The Father at the very bottom in heaven will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can ask him. So that's what I began to do as I was studying the Word of God. It's useful for teaching, for being correct, training in righteousness, so the man is equipped for every good work. So study these scriptures, right? 4:4, 12:12. Obey God's word. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. This is how you begin to discover your spiritual gifts. This is how you begin to open them. And then I just want to add this. Desire the giver more than the gift. It's so many times, like I'm saying, he's speaking on spiritual gifts, so now we have to focus on spiritual gifts. That's just part of it. You can focus a little bit on that, but you want to focus on God. And a lot of times God will say, worship me, love the people as you seek my spiritual gifts. I'm hitting the down button. Know why you're asking for it, what your motivation is. As you seek spiritual gifts, do you want the kid to rise and you can be cool and awesome? People see, are you having gift envy? Are you having gift projection, inferiority, things like that? Ask others to lay hands on you and pray that you may receive it. You know, you can go, do I really? No, you don't need someone to lay hands on you. I received the gift of tongues in a room by myself in Taiwan. And the room was very just Taiwanish, just very concrete everywhere in white. And as I was seeking that, the Lord came upon me. And I was like, whoa, what is this? And then, can I stop it? Oh, yeah, I can. Okay. Must be what I've been praying for, and then check it with different people. But you can ask, as it says, Timothy, remind you to fan a flame which is in you through the laying on of hands. Somehow there was a laying on of hands, maybe Paul or others, and he was given a spiritual gift. We don't know exactly what spiritual gift is there. Try it. This is the next area. Not only seek it, but try it. You're going to have to take, and this is basically a muscle thing, is faith is like a muscle. You're going to have to start to work it out. So try it. Try it, experiment. Identify a need in a church. Talk with leaders, and then see if you can begin to try to work it out. Three ways to try it: an ongoing ministry, short-term project, spontaneous situations. Okay, again, come under leadership, ask, see how you might be able to use it. Go on a mission trip. See if there's a ministry here. You have the gift of service, administration, different things, leadership. Begin to use it. Open it. It is easier to discover your gift through ministry than to discover your ministry through your gift. So minister. Okay, you're not a gift, and not doing anything. How do I discover my spiritual gift? Evaluate it. Ask other Christians about your spiritual gift and listen. Take a spiritual gift test. Evaluate the results of your service and ministry. Was there fruit? I have the gift of healing. You know how I know? I don't know. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's a lie. I don't have a gift of healing. Sorry, Lord. Because I've never healed anyone. Not that I know of. At least very, very clear. Now, they may have gotten healed later or something, but there was never any fruit. So if you're saying you have the gift of healing, but no one has ever been healed, there's no fruit, they don't know. Ask people, do you feel like I have any spiritual gifts? Don't be scared. Oh, yeah, I feel like you have the gift of hospitality. I feel like you have the gift of word of wisdom. I feel like you have a gift of leadership. Or, man, you're very compassionate, merciful. I feel like you have the gift. Ask people. Now, these tests are. Not so much into the test, but you can try it. I'd say it's like 50-50. It's like when they forecast the rain. Is it going to rain today? 50%. The reason is, I think a little bit of this is because so many spiritual gifts involve words, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, tongues, teaching. There's a lot of word gifts, so they end up being all kind of lumped together. And then it talks a little bit like if you're extrovert, then you must have this. Not necessarily. These are different ways that you can discover your spiritual gift. That is the end. Let me pray for us.